I'll just give you a little brief introduction, very brief, about what the CETI project is and what we're trying to achieve. So the CETI project is an HRC-funded collaboration between Newcastle University and Manchester University, and we're working in partnership with the Tyne and Wear Building Preservation Trust, who is the owner or responsible for the Dunstan Estates. I'm sure you know all, or you're familiar with the Dunstan Estates. I'll show you a little picture of it. The Dunstan Estates is one of the largest wooden structures in Europe. It's a scheduled monument, and it's situated a little bit north of, west of the center of Newcastle, up the Tyne. And it is a kind of jetty or a ramp where trains have offloaded coal onto barges and ships. It's about 500 meters long and has been not used, I think, since about 40 years now. And there's a gap missing in a little bit in between. As you can see, it's a fire damage about 6-7 years ago. I think 2006 it was. I'm not sure. So it's partly damaged. But we have chosen in our CETI project to work with the site of Dunstan Estates because it kind of embodies quite a lot of things we think about in terms of sustainability. This is where we come back to the main theme of our research project, which is also an art project, which is centered around the main question: how can a practice-led fine art research project meaningfully contribute to the multi-layered debate around sustainability in the urban realm? It's quite dense, it's quite broad, and hopefully today we can kind of narrow it down a bit more and discuss it. So first word, practice-led fine art project, means it's driven by practically doing artworks and doing an installation at the Dunstan Estates as our main site. And the idea is to find out how the making and the whole process of developing an artwork can contribute, as I say, to the multi-layered debate around what sustainability means, how we understand sustainability, especially in the urban realm, in the context of the Dunstan Estates. Now, why did we choose the Dunstan Estate? As I said before, it embodies so much of what we want to look at. First of all, it's also an environmental site. Since it has not been used for 40 years, birds and specific plants and have settled there, and it's protected, so it's a protected nature site, which obviously you always think in terms of sustainability. It's the environment. Also, what we or I specifically find very interesting, it's also heritage. You know, it is industrial heritage. And how do we deal with industrial heritage? How can we sustain the kind of heritage aspect of a structure like that? And what do we do with this? So thinking about sustainability in the context of architectural heritage. Then another aspect, obviously, is made out of timber and so on and so forth. So there are quite a few things we are interested in, or we think will kind of enrich the development of the artwork for this site. Now, what is the aim of this symposium? We are kind of at the beginning of our research project, and the symposium is one of the means for us to engage with the audience, so to say. And we identified a couple of audiences or a few audiences we would be really interested in kind of finding out about what sustainability means, how we can address this in our artwork, and so on. And so we want to open up a dialogue with you, all the participants, not only the experts, which we have here today, but also all the contributors and participants here in this kind of project. So, and what do we want to find out is, first of all, how do you understand sustainability? What's important for you? What does it mean for you? What do we want to sustain? Is that a good term? Do we want to sustain something? And also we would like to find out, because most of you are from an architectural or artist background, what role can an art project play in that kind of context? Can it contribute to that discussion? Can it trigger something? I believe, or I hope so, that it can. And I tell you a little bit later about why. But first of all, I want to also introduce our experts and guests here today who will give some presentation. Today, first of all, we have, after my introduction and Professor Simon Guy's introduction from Manchester University. Simon is my partner on the project, who will shortly after me continue the introduction. We will have Marco Casagrande. Marco is a Finnish architect, environmental artist, and social theorist. And we are very much looking forward to having him here today and to his presentation. After his presentation, which finishes just before lunchtime, we will have some questions, and then there is a lunch break. And after the lunch break, we have Angus Farquhar, who is the creative director of NVA, one of the UK's most successful independent art charities. And he will introduce his work and project and also be one of the workshop leaders. But my colleague Simon will talk a bit more about the workshops. And then we have Professor Michael Miles. He's a professor of cultural theory in the School of Architecture, Design and Environment of the University of Plymouth. So we have some theory as well, not just practice. And Alice Sharp is here from Invisible Dust. She's the director and curator of Invisible Dust, which is an art and science organization. And finally, we have Professor Michael Tower from the University of Sydney. He's the chair of architecture there, and he will lead or chair the individual workshops, the roundup sessions at the end, and chair the panel discussion. Sorry. Okay, now I just want to very little briefly talk about a work I have done in 2006, Transfer, because it kind of like was the starting point to think about the project we are doing today here. I will disappoint you because I'm not going to talk about what we will do at the Dunstan States because we don't know really yet. So this is why we have this symposium, to get some information from you and which hopefully feeds into our development of the artworks. But nevertheless, I would like to talk about Transfer because, as I say, it embodies some of our thinking around how we might approach this and a little bit about the methodology we want to use in order to develop a project for the Dunstan States, which then hopefully becomes a catalyst for the debate around our understanding of sustainability. So Transfer was commissioned by Milton Keynes Gallery in 2006, and it was a temporary large-scale architectural installation at Station Square in Milton Keynes. So this is an image of Milton Keynes Gallery. Milton Keynes, as you know, is a satellite city of London and has been kind of as constructed as an utopian place or city in the 50s or after the war. It's a typical commuter town which has been planned on a grid base. And very interestingly enough, the town center is a huge shopping mall, and culture, for example, like Milton Keynes Gallery, is a little bit on the periphery. And when I was invited by Michael Stanley, the director of Milton Keynes Gallery, I was very interested in that kind of relationship between the town center and the cultural aspect of place and public squares. So this is Milton Keynes Gallery. There's a mural painting of Michael Craig Martin on it, so that's not my work. But you see, it's a cubic structure, 18 by 18 meters, 9 meter high, and the pink building is where the shows are. This is basically the gallery, and left to it you have an annex where the admin and the workshops and so on. My proposal was to rebuild Milton Keynes Gallery as a process, not at the periphery, but really as a public space in the town center. So bringing basically the culture into the town center. So my proposal was to build the shell of Milton Keynes Gallery as a temporary installation at Station Square, which is basically the largest public square in Milton Keynes in front of the station, or the only so-called public square. Because in town center, as I said, it's covered by a huge indoor shopping mall, and so there are open spaces in there, but they are not really public. They are owned privately and by the mall. So it's not really a public square. So I wanted to squat or bring back in through this kind of activity of building and unbuilding Milton Keynes Gallery, a public square, and by that kind of start a discussion about our use of public squares or public space in general. And the methodology we used is we built and unbuilt one wall at a time. So these are the four walls. We used blocks which are kind of breeze blocks, but they're a very specific type of breeze blocks which kind of click into each other rather than being glued with mortar or glue. So we could recycle them, we could reuse the blocks in the process. So we would build up over a week one of those walls, which is, as I said, 80 meters wide and 9 meter high. And then we would start to unbuild them the next day, the next following week, and build up the next wall with the bricks. So it becomes like a Mexican wave in a football stadium. So it's a constant movement of building and unbuilding. Here you have, you see Station Square. We kind of squatted it, we blocked it, so the whole traffic flow of the people, it was changed. They had to go around it. They had really to engage with this huge building site, so to say. A key aspect for me was to work with the local building colleges on the project, to involve them, and we will do the same here with our project at Dunstan States. In a way to provide, through the artwork, we want to provide a platform for education. So here, the building students were taught in new scaffolding techniques. We are using a kind of system scaffolding, not really used in the UK, which is called layer. And these type of building blocks are also not used in the UK. And therefore, we got quite a lot of sponsorship from the industry, which was great for us. Otherwise, we could have not afforded a project like this. So there's also a very strong collaboration with the industry, which also is something about, you know, economic sustainability you could think about. How we as artists collaborate with industry. Is there something in for us, or are we just providing a platform for advertisement for them? Anyway, I leave that question open. And the involvement of the students, as I said, you could think about in terms of social sustainability. Can an artwork really, in inverted commas, create new work? And as a matter of fact, we did through that project, which was quite amazing. And a study shown, because there was an academic study running alongside this project, and the training provided gave the students new certificates, NVQs, for these new scaffolding techniques, which I thought was quite exciting. So they got something out of it. So we not just used the students to help us to build the thing, we also provided them with an opportunity that they could get something out of it. Another, for me, important aspect of collaborating with a community is not to make the students or the collaborators all of a sudden artists. No, the other way around. Kind of appreciating what they do and put it on a stage. So their craft or their skill all of a sudden gets valued in a completely different level. So they are here on show. They're showing their skills. They feel proud about it, and they can demonstrate what they can do. Another very interesting aspect for me as an artist was that I didn't brief my builders or the students on the project what to say, how to engage with the public. So in a sense, so they had to make sense of the work by themselves. So they had to think about it. They had to kind of communicate it to the audience, because you can imagine there would be a lot of people talking, what are you doing here? What is this? Are you building here a building in the middle of our square? So they had to kind of sell it to the audience. And that had quite an interesting effect in that sense that at the beginning they saw the project as just something where they learn something, get a new certificate, or it was just a job. But after a while, engaging with that after 3 weeks, they took on some sort of ownership. They had to defend it. They have to say why it's art and so on. They had to make sense of it by themselves without being briefed by myself. And at the end, they were really proud of it. They thought it's a piece of their own. So for me, it's more like I just provide the parameters and like a theater director helping to stage the thing, but on stage are the actors, or in that case, the builders. So they become, in that sense, part of the artwork. And we are hoping to, some of these things I'm mentioning here, that we can bring that in into our thinking about how an artwork can trigger discussion about sustainability. What means sustainability in the social context, and in terms of the dance estates in an environmental context and a heritage context as well, which we don't have here, and also in the way of thinking about our public spaces. And in a way, dance estates is a public space. It belongs to all of us, and, but it's disused at the moment. How can we kind of bring it back to life? And maybe an artwork or artworks can do that. Now, the final image of the project is a photograph, which is also part of my work. I record these kind of time-based projects with long exposure photography, because you never, during the process, you never see the finished shell of Milton Keynes Gallery. You only see a wall coming up and down, constantly shifting and changing. So the way I photograph it is the only way to record all the activities and in a way show the completed building. I open up the shutter at the beginning of the project with an analog camera and record it over 3 weeks, and then I close the shutter at the end. So it's a 3 week exposure, analog photography, and that documentation in a way becomes then a known piece of art in its own right, and it's shown in exhibitions afterwards. It's not just a documentation, but hopefully shows a different aspect of the work and adds on to it. Okay, so again, I'm very happy to welcome you all, and I hope this little introduction to my work sets a kind of like the parameters of what we're thinking in terms of today. And I will finish again with the Dunstan States, a very exciting site. If you haven't seen it, please have a look at it. There is, I think, a little tour tomorrow if you haven't seen it. And I just want to mention, in terms of what we are at the moment thinking at, is there's this huge gap, there's this missing bit, this missing link in the Dunstan States. And we are particularly interested in this kind of void there, and we are thinking of doing something with this. And with that, I want to close for now and pass on to my colleague, Simon Guy. Thank you.